Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Amen. Go ahead and take your seat. I want to tell you something that's just over the years, you know, I've been a theologian for 40 years. That's somebody who studies the Word of God and figures out the character of God by the Scriptures. Being a pastor for almost 40 years, and I've learned some things. I was just thinking about how many thousands of people I've counseled over 40 years. How many people I've seen come and go in the body of Christ. It's like sickening. How many people come and go. How many people make a great commitment to God, and after a while you don't see them anymore. And it's really sad to kind of wonder. And of course, when you're a young pastor, you blame yourself and you beat yourself up over it because, you know, it must be something I did or something wrong. I couldn't keep their attention. I couldn't do what I needed to do. And I realized it really wasn't us at all as pastors. It's really their decision and their choice making. And I found out over the years of marrying hundreds of people and probably burying thousands of people and winning hundreds of thousands. I'm very honored to say such a thing. Hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord in this house as well as around the world. I'm grateful to stand before you tonight and make a statement that there's something I learned that's very simple. And it's a simple message, but it's a profound message about you and me. I wonder why some people make it and some don't. I wonder why some people become hot 1 week and excited for God 1 month and 1 year of their life, and the next year or two they're not serving God at all. I mean, I say this, is there anybody in here that doesn't know people that way? I wondered over the years why some people get blessed, just totally and completely blessed in their life and all that they do and say and business, and they seem to coast in life, you know. And others go to church and give their money and all that kind of stuff, but they don't seem to get blessed. It's like almost like God selects one person to be blessed and another person not to be blessed. And it was kind of a crazy thing, you know. I wondered about that over the years like crazy. And I realized that there's a simple answer to all of this, and it's called choices. Everybody in this room and everybody on this planet has an opportunity to make the right choices or the wrong choices. We are designed by God to make the right choices, but it's in our makeup to make the wrong choices. When you find that Adam and Eve fell, they fell because they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. That knowledge of good and evil gave them the right to determine for themselves what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And that is in the makeup of every human being born after that now, is that you and I have the ability in ourselves to determine what is good and bad, and we base it on many different things. We base it on our education. We base it on our cultural backgrounds. We base it on our color of our skin. We base it on our military experience or our educational experiences. We base all of these determinations, these decisions that we make, these choices that we make, based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, instead of what Adam and Eve were like before they fell, which was based on what was good and what was not good, based on what God said. When Jesus came, he now empowers us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and then he gives us a manual on how to live life called the Bible. And he empowers us to live the Word of God by his grace. And he gives us a lifetime on earth to learn how to do this, which is not something if you don't get the first time. You get a few years to work it out, make sure you do, before you leave the place, so you can be what God would have you to be, and that is blessed. We oftentimes, even though we call ourselves Christians, keep falling back on our old nature, our flesh, our sinful ways, our own ideologies and philosophies of life. Based on our cultural experience, we make decisions on what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, instead of what God says. And we come up with something called choices for the future. And those choices are the most important choices in our life, because that determines where we go and how we get there, and determines whether or not God is on our side, helping us to get to where we need to be, or not on our side, just letting us live out life according to what we think or what we feel. Are you following me at all? Choices are very important for all of us. And I, over the years of this experience that I have and of ministering and working with people, I find tens of thousands of people who will make the wrong choices in their life and therefore pollute their future and polluting their destiny with Christ. What a shame. And so Christian choices are very, very important. It determines where you're going to end up and determines what you're going to do is your choices. And your choices most of the time are based on your feelings or your thinking or your social experience, instead of your choices being made beyond your feelings and beyond your flesh, beyond your own thinking and social experience, but your choice being made by the Spirit. Very few people follow the Spirit. Lots of people who call themselves Christians follow the flesh. That's why people fail. It's simple as that. You could be one of those people in the future. They're not going to church. You're not excited about God. You're not living up to your full potential. You know, you're one of those people that you're just not going to make the right choices, because no one's expressed to you what it is that the choices are that you make that are so important. There are five things that God gave me tonight about Christian choices that you need to understand and I need to share with you. Five things. These five things are to operate within your life, and many of them are simple, and so simple that we overlook. And that's one of the characteristics of Christianity. What God puts on us to do and what God would ask us to do is so simple. Oftentimes we don't do it because it's so simple. We think it's, you know, if it was harder, I would think it's more important and certainly do it. But it's so simple, we just overlook it. Therefore, we end up making wrong choices. Now, follow me. Wrong choices bring you to the wrong place. The wrong place, you don't get blessed, nor do you get the presence of God. Then when you fail, you get mad at God and say it doesn't work and you don't come to church anymore. Can't tell you how many people will start off with Jesus Christ, so excited about God and doing the right things, doing what's important for their life, and get blessed. And as soon as they start getting blessed, they start making decisions for themselves. Not decisions for themselves based on what God has, but decisions for themselves based on what they feel or think are their activities, and then they end up failing. Do you know anybody that's failed as a Christian? Come on, be honest with me. You say to yourself, well, they're going to die and go to heaven. Yeah, they're going to make it maybe to heaven. That's great because of the shed blood and the grace of God. I'm not saying they're not going to, but while they live on earth, they stink as Christians. They're not blessed, they're not happy, they're not fulfilled, they're sick, they're broken, they're down, all because of one word, choices. If I, Pastor Dan, Pastor Luke, Pastor Jess, Pastor Deb, could ever take a church and get them to realize how important their choices are for their destiny, that church would be a completely different enigma among American churches. That would be absolutely outstanding. Just the word choices. Five choices. The first is obvious and the first is simple, but the first is the most and deepest of all of them. And the first is the one we make the biggest mistake on, even though it's the obvious and the most difficult and most simple. And on your mind, if I asked you what's the most important choice a man should make, the first thing you would say in all of us would be God. And choosing God is the number one thing. But it's not as simple as just choosing God. Watch this. It's how you choose God that becomes the differentiation between one who's successful and one who is not successful. See, to most people that call themselves Christians, they, you ask them if they choose God, say, yes, I choose God. Well, how did you do that? I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God. Oh, that's great. I believe in the Trinity. Oh, that's great. I believe in the Bible. I believe in going to church. It's great. But the devil sometimes goes to church. You ever been around churches? You know I'm talking truth. That may be a shock to you, but man, I'm telling you, I think the devil goes to a lot of churches. Number two, listen to this. Is it not true that the devil believes Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Stop and think about him. Saw him resurrected from the dead, knows all the stories, saw all the miracles, knows he made a mistake. So guess what? Can I just say this to you? Just because you know that doesn't mean you've chosen God. To choose God means something much deeper than just occasionally going to church and calling yourself a Christian, having a bumper sticker on your car, cross around your neck. To choose God means this is a relationship with God of all your heart and all of your life. And it really means this, that he is the number one of everything. He is what you live your life by. If you choose God, what you're saying is, Jesus, you're my boss. You're my life. You're my breath. You're my existence. I don't do anything without you, and it's about you and not about me. Because all of a sudden, I'm doing something. I'm substituting my will, my want, my desire, my plan, my excitement, my feelings for all of his. And that's what choosing God is entailing. It is not just knowing God or calling yourself a Christian or someone who comes along and says, I believe in God. Everybody does that. More than that, it's about I believe in God to the place where he is my very breath. He is my life. He is my existence. He's what I do. He's what I want. His plan, his will, his way. I will forfeit mine feelings for his plan and his feelings. I will give up what I want for his what he wants. And that's really hard because we're solid and healthy and strong and feeling what we want, but we're very lack in knowing what he wants. So therefore, we hang on to ourselves, and half the time that's from the knowledge of the tree of good and of evil. You're making the decisions for your future based on what you think and feel instead of who he is. So the very expression of choosing God is the very most important thing anybody could ever do, but it's in this deep, meaningful relationship with God that is called choosing God. Anything less than that, you haven't chosen God, you've acknowledged God. And can I just say something? Nobody goes to heaven by acknowledging God. You only get to heaven with a relationship with God where you have chosen God. Sure, all hell is going to come against me. All my plans are going to be, you know, not solid or healthy, and all the things that I would like and feel, I'm setting aside, but I know it's him. And I'm going to keep on doing what he wants, his will, his way, his want, instead of what this is all about. It's just about a choice. Choice is not to acknowledge him and call yourself a Christian. The choice is to choose him as the very essence of your life. Yeah. Is anybody listening? And without that understanding, people that generally go to Christian churches are completely confused. Because they go to church and they call themselves a Christian and they have a cross around their neck. And their relationship isn't much deeper than that. It's a relationship where they figure out what their life is going to be and then ask God to get involved in their life instead of we figuring out what he wants us to do and we ask ourselves to get involved in what he wants. Big difference, my friend. One is choosing God, one is acknowledging God. Is anybody understanding that? In the book of Ruth, and by the way, I want to show you the scripture on this. Kind of a neat scripture. I've been meditating the last few days about this scripture. And I just walk around my yard and stare out my window and drink coffee and all that kind of stuff. And all the time, the Word of God is like rolling around on the inside of me. I don't always have a Bible in my lap. I have hopefully enough Word in my heart that I can present myself before God and meditate his Word without having to look at it. And in the book of Ruth, there's a story of a woman by the name of Naomi. She lost her husband. She was in the land of Moab, and she had two sons, and her two sons were married to women that were from the Moab's, or the tribe of Moab. And we find ourselves that her two sons die. And so here's this wonderful lady that she finds herself in this place where her daughters are just devastated, and so is she, because all of her men, the men in the family, have died. And so she says something to her daughter-in-law. She says, "You need to go back to your people, your culture, not go with me. I'm going back to the Jewish culture, and there a relative somewhere along the line will take care of me, but they won't take care of you. You're from a different tribe, a Moab's, and you need to go to your tribe." And the first daughter gets up and kisses everybody goodbye and hugs them and leaves and goes back to her own tribe of people, people that she's familiar with, people that she lived with, understands the culture, understands the relatives, understands everything. This is where she is comfortable, for where she spent all of her life. The second daughter-in-law, who lost her husband also, his name is Ruth. And we have a book in Scripture called Ruth. If you'll go there with me, the book of Ruth is so fascinating because it's between, if you will, Judges on the front side and 1 Samuel on the back side. If you get to 1 Samuel, you've gone too far. If you're in Judges, you haven't gone far enough. Remember, we're talking about choosing God. It's a funny little story because there's some statements that Ruth makes to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she makes this statement to her that is recorded in Scripture because it's such a powerful statement. It's not just a powerful statement about Ruth towards Naomi. It's really a powerful statement about you and I towards God. And most of the time, we miss that. We say it's a great story. Ruth had special faith. She had a commitment that was wild and exotic and towards her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it's great, and we teach on that. But the real thing that's in Scripture is because God wants to see and wants you to see what a real choosing God experience entails. And in the first chapter, after all of this experience, she sends her daughters off, but Ruth is not going to go. Ruth makes a statement to Naomi that's just really fascinating in verse 16. "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me now to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God.'" And then it goes on to say, which I don't have on the overhead, but if you have your Bible, it's kind of fun to read it. "Where you die, I will die, and where you're buried, I will be buried." It's just amazing, this kind of a commitment that she chooses, Ruth, that says, "Everything I have, everything you do, I'm following. Every place you go, I'm following. Everything you want, I want." And she goes on to say, "Where you even live is where I'm going to live." And God comes and makes a statement, 15th chapter of John, and says, "If you'll abide in me," that means live, stay, dwell. And we miss that all the time. And we look at this as just Ruth talking to Naomi, but it's really not. It's recorded in there so that you can, I can see the commitment. Can you put it back up on the overhead again? Because it says this, he says, "Entreat me not to leave." In other words, man, I'm not wanting to get away from the presence of God. I don't want God to leave me. I want to get hooked up with God. He says, "Or turn back from following." I need to, don't tell me to turn back from following you. I'm going to follow you. It's, notice this, it's not God following our plans, but we're to follow. Is that right? And see, that's what we miss all the time. It says, "I have a connection with God. Now here's my plans, God, and I want you to get involved in them." It doesn't work that way. We're to follow God. And then it says, for wherever you go. Can you imagine that? Someone has that kind of a commitment. God, wherever you go, whatever you do, that's what I'm going to do. And wherever you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. And your, and I love this, your people will be my people. And I really believe that's just a figurative speech about how we are to be with God, that when we choose God, it's that kind of an all of our life choice. And without that kind of a choice, all the rest of your choices as a Christian or so-called Christian are watered down. Nothing else works from that point on until the proper choice is made. That God, you are like the song we just sang, the breath in my lungs. I love the song because it's so true. Without God, man, we couldn't hold our breath for 5 minutes. He's the one that puts the atmosphere around us so that we can breathe. Holds the sun at the right distance, the moon at a different distance. I mean, it's all about God. I was watching a History Channel just yesterday. I was telling Debbie and how they, I don't know when, but they found this flash frozen, one of those, what are they called, Dr. Kobernick, those elephants that had, what is it called?
Mastodon.
I don't know what that means. But it's an elephant that has a lot of hair on it and the big tusks. Right? Is that right? Flash frozen in the Siberian ice. So flash frozen that, listen to this, it was eating grass that grows in warm climate. In its stomach had grass that had been for thousands of years in its stomach and preserved, and that grass only grows in a warm climate. In its mouth was grass, and it was flash frozen in a few seconds. Somewhere in the whole entire animal is 100% preserved, flash frozen. You can look it up all you want, but do it after I preach. And it's really fascinating to think that something hit this earth that took something as big and hairy and strong, and within a few seconds, everything within that body was frozen and preserved for thousands of years until someone found him. The God that you and I know holds that all at bay, so that you and I have time to make the choice, the real choice, not just the head knowledge or acknowledgement of him, but the real choice for him. Is anybody listening? Kind of fun, huh? The second thing that we need to make choices about is we need to choose God's people, like it said. And that's kind of a funny thing, but I had to learn, and you do too, that if I'm going to choose him with everything in my being, that he becomes the number one thing, then I have to know what he loves the most so that I can learn to love what he loves. You know, a lot of the scripture is all about learning how to love one another. And I had to learn how to love what God loves the most. What love God loves the most is not diamonds and gold and silver, or even your praises, or even your songs, or even what God loves the most is people. Amen. Broken down, frustrating, sinful at times, great at other times, up, down, yo-yo people that we all are. God loves people. Anybody ever as a human been frustrated by somebody else? Okay, everybody that doesn't want to lie, raise your hand if that's true. You know what I'm talking about. Frustrated, but that's what this is all about, is learning how to love what he loves. And he loves people the most. That's what I love about this church, getting people saved, getting people strong, getting people healthy for the things of God. It's just, I mean, that's a commitment for the last almost 30 years as this church exists. This is it, you know. Falling in love with God's people is an amazing thing. And you know, the scripture that I wanted to use is kind of a neat little scripture. It's found in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And here we find this very rich and probably pompous individual by the name of Moses. And all of a sudden he realizes that he's part of the Hebrews. And these Hebrews are under, if you remember, bondage from the Egyptians. And he was brought up in Pharaoh's house, and he drank Pharaoh's wine and ate Pharaoh's food. And he could have been a real arrogant snot. that just lived on his own self-evaluation. He could have been pompous to the place where he thought lowly of everybody else. He could have, and most likely, if it was any one of us, we probably would have, you know, done the same thing and thought greater of ourselves than we do of other people. But he doesn't. He makes a statement. A statement's made about Moses' heart. This is not a statement Moses made. This is a statement that God knows about Moses, which I found really fascinating. Remember, this is not a statement that Moses made. This is a statement that God saw in Moses and made it in Scripture so that you and I could see the heartbeat of this guy, Moses, that makes him so incredibly special. Remember, our subject is we need to choose God's people. Now watch this. Verse 25, it says these words, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. This guy had every human pleasure there is and gives it up for the afflictions that the Hebrews were going through to be part of them. And he says, I say no to the food of the Pharaoh. I say no to the prestige and power that I have. I say no to the comfortable surroundings that I live. I say no to the people that bow before me as I walk as a prince in Egypt. And I say, I'd much rather be with the people of God in an afflicted position than be lifted up by what the world has to offer. God sees that in him. And here's what we miss all the time. Does God, who sees it in him, does he see it in any of us? We want that stuff instead of wanting him. In order to make the right choice, you're going to have to choose God's people over the stuff every time. I think if there's anything Debbie and I did is that I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted this church to fail. I didn't take up an offering. I don't know, I don't remember, maybe 3 years, we wouldn't take up an offering. You say, why wouldn't you take up an offering, Pastor Jim? Because I figure if we went broke, then it would be God's fault. I can go back into business where I'll make a lot of money. Because I wanted to be a businessman. I didn't want to be a pastor. I mean, pastors are people that can't get jobs. It's what I thought of them, you know? I didn't think much of them. And all of a sudden, I knew God wanted me to pastor, but I thought, well, how can I pastor if the church goes broke? So I didn't take up an offering. A little bit of money came in here and there. My business went like wild, and God said to me, yeah, if I'm going to do what God wants me to do, you pay the bills, smarty pants. So I ended up paying the bills for 3 years. And then when it came time for me to have a job, because the church had grown to 300 or 400 people and they needed a pastor, I had to give up my business that I was making a lot of money in and give the church the money to pay me my salary, $35,000 a year. Whoa, what am I going to do with that? Which was about a tenth of what I was making. The purpose of that is not to exalt myself or pat myself on the back or brag to you about that. I didn't know it, but I was catching the heart of God because I was realizing that God's people were more important than me. And they needed a pastor, and they were like sheep wandering without proper direction. And so I had to give up what I wanted to give up and be what he wanted. And I did that. And you know, I can stand before you as an old man now in my 70s and tell you, I don't regret a moment of it. If I had it all over to do again, I would do it again. I would do it with less worrying, you know, but I'd do it all over again. You got to choose God's people. That's who God loves. And that's why we feed the poor at this place to take care of people. This church will never fail as long as we take care of people. Come on, somebody. Third choice that God wants us to make, and this is a really cool one, is you got to choose understanding. Why? Because if you don't understand what's going on, God's ways, you'll give up after a while. You know, you'll get up all the strength to do it. I'm going to do this even though I don't understand why I'm doing it. If God wants me to do it, I'll do it. And you do it for a while and you don't understand it. After a while, you get tired of doing it and you'll quit. And with understanding, I'm going to paraphrase a heartbeat of Paul in Scripture, but he knew too much to ever quit. Knew too much about God. He understood too much about the ways of the Lord. He understood too much about who God was and the plan of God to ever walk off or back off. Because when you understand the plan of God and you understand what God is saying, you understand what you're doing, you understand your choice for God, and you understand the love that God has for people, and you understand the plan from Genesis to Revelation, there's no place to go. But if you don't understand it, you'll try to do it for a while and fail. And so thank God we're in the church business of making people, helping people to understand the ways of the Lord. And that's what you're getting right now, if you want to know the truth. There's a scripture in 1 Kings 3rd chapter. It's about Solomon. Solomon is the son of David. And Solomon is a young man. David is older and he's passing the baton to his son Solomon, who's writer of much of Scripture. And I don't know about you, but it's interesting, in the third chapter, God comes to Solomon and he says to Solomon something so fascinating. He says to Solomon, "What do you want?" I'm paraphrasing this. "What do you want and I'll do it for you?" Let me tell you something, man. Would that be the coolest thing in the world?
Yes, yes, yes.
God, I want to win the lottery. Yeah. And I don't want to pay taxes. And I want the biggest house I can find, and the greatest cars. Lord, I don't want to get old. What can God do? He asked Solomon. He says, "Solomon, choose what it is you want me to do and I'll do it." You know, be honest with yourself. God said that to you, you'd sit down and start writing out things. And Solomon has the coolest answer. It's like, you got to be kidding. And it's recorded in Scripture so you and I can learn about making right choices. And it wasn't money. And that all comes. It wasn't prestige or power or recognition, acceptance and approval of man. My friends, that all comes. There's something that precedes all of that, and it's called understanding. If I could just understand what it is you want my life to do and be and how this plan I fit into it, whew, then all of a sudden, wow, here is this thing. I'll read it to you out of 1 Kings. Oh, you already got it up. Man, you guys don't mess. Third chapter, verse number 9. "Therefore," in other words, because you asked me this question and I told you, here's what I need, and here's my choice. "Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between the good and evil." Because remember, discerning between the good and evil for all of us is usually from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Our own ways of doing things, our own society teaching us how people should act, our own educational purposes, instead of from the things of God. To discern between good and evil must come from God, not from your rational thinking or what the Supreme Court says of what's right and wrong. It comes from not you, it comes from God. And that's what we lost at the garden, but we can get back with Jesus. And here you see the servant saying to judge, to discern between good and evil. Did he not have the ability to say, "Man, I live with my dad. He was a good man, a great king of Israel, the best king there ever was. And he was a godly man. I'll just follow my God, my dad. I'll just follow his way of doing things. I went to school on my dad." But he doesn't do that. He goes to God. He says, "God, I need you to give me the understanding on how to understand what is right and wrong." Because if you know what's right and wrong and understand it, now you're on the path and you will keep on going. If you don't know what's right and wrong, and your right and wrong is determined by what you feel or think, our society, our social system, tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you fail.
Good.
God will never back somebody's right and wrong that's based on the tree of knowledge, good and evil, because that means the tree of knowledge of good and evil is superior to the wisdom of God. And so you're wasting your time as a Christian, and you got to understand that. Actually, the fourth thing that God showed me to share with you, I thought was really fascinating, if I may, is the word, you've got to choose truth. Someone says, what's truth? It's simple. It's not your feelings or what you think. Truth surpasses your feelings and surpasses what you think. It surpasses what society teaches us. Social systems are your teachers in school, are their trainer at work. Truth is what God says. And oftentimes, it doesn't fit with our natural thinking. And that's the point, it shouldn't. Until we get our thinking in line with truth, truth will never get in line with our thinking. Is anybody listening? And so to make a choice, I want to know truth. God, I don't want to try to figure out how to be a husband. I want to know what you say about being a husband. It's different than what I feel, and I don't want to do those things, but I know that's truth, and therefore I'm getting past what I think and past my ways, that tree of knowledge of good and of evil, and now I'm going to come along and do truth, because that's what you said, even though it doesn't fit with my logic, doesn't fit with my thinking. I want to have a good business, and Lord, if I do this, that's going to make me a businessman. Here's all the books on how to do business and manipulate the market and change things and get people involved and how to make sales and all this. God, but I don't want that kind of truth. I want your truth on how to make my business work. See, and that's the truth you and I are looking for, and it's always outlined in Scripture. Doesn't mean you should go to your boss and say, I'm not doing what you say. I didn't say that. But for your own personal life, truth is so important. In Psalm 119, verse 30, pop it up. I have chosen the way, the psalmist writes, of truth. Now look, you have chosen God. You have chosen God's people. You have chosen understanding. But none of it works until you have truth. And I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgment I have laid before me. In other words, His way of judging things is the truth, not our way of judging things. The first thing Adam and Eve did after they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is they covered themselves up and hid from God, who they never had to hide from and they never had to cover up from before. They started making decisions for themselves. And we haven't stopped to this day. And American churches are filled with people who make decisions for themselves, hoping that God will get involved in the decision. They may be good decisions based on our society, social system, or philanthropy ideologies, but it is not God. And there's a big difference, and that's the choice. Are we going to choose truth? Last one is service. You got to choose service. I'm going to share something with you that's crazy. Service is not working for God. It's working to God. And there's a difference. I'll explain it to you in a while. We had a verse that one time when we put in a swimming pool in one of our houses up in the Redlands area when the church was first started. I loved that house, but I had to sell it to help build this building. And we put a swimming pool in. Man, it was just really fun. The kids loved it. We had some wet cement, and we were going to put in a verse. You know how you scratch in a verse? We were going to scratch in a little verse. God, we scratched in this verse so big. Do you remember that, Mama? It was like a foot tall. And it was Joshua 24:15. And then we wrote it all out. And if I have that up, it says this. We're talking about serving. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. I mean, God says, you know, cross the line, one way or the other. Get off both sides. Stop doing your thing, start doing his, or keep doing yours and don't expect him to get involved in it. I mean, somebody needs to tell you that. If you want him involved, you're going to have to get him involved by doing his way. He doesn't get involved in your way, he gets involved in his way. If he gets involved your way, then your way was determined by the tree of knowledge of good and of evil, and that just confuses the whole thing, so he doesn't get involved in it. So he's waiting for you to get involved in his way. His way is always superior to your way. His way will always bring better benefits than your way. His way will always prosper you more than your way. His way is always going to take you to a higher place than your way. At the end of your life, like this old man, you will say, thank God I followed God. And he says this way, get off the fence, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, for me and my house is a choice. For me and my house, you know, you've heard all my kids preach, and they all do. And they know what they're talking about. They do it because their heart's right. Why? Because me and my house will serve the Lord. And it wasn't just working. You got to get this. Serving the Lord can incorporate work. But it's not just work. It's about serving who He is. Is anybody listening? It's not serving doing something. It's about serving who He is. And this is the only pointed out in the New Testament when Martha and Mary were waiting on Jesus in Mark 10th chapter. Let's pop it up. Martha's just complaining about Mary, man. She's not serving. I'm in there serving. Why don't you tell her to get away from your feet? You know, get away from sitting at your feet and doing nothing while I do all this work. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, Martha. You know, when he says it two times, it's like, oh, man. Martha, Martha. Or lap, Jim, Jim. Or Judy, or Judy. Or Bill, Bill. Well, anyway, Martha, Martha. He comes along and he says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. What was it? Her service was to him. More than to the plates or to the cleaning of the kitchen or to the working or to the feeding of people. We all need to clean. We all need to take care of. We all need to feed the people. But the most important service is to Him. Every one of us, we service Him with all of our heart. That goes back to number one, the choosing of God first and foremost as your heartbeat and as your very breath, which will not be taken away from her. So here we are, five things tonight to think about. Really good things, so that you don't end up a derelict someday. And all of a sudden, that you don't end up like most people who come through the church. I mean, think about hundreds of thousands of people saved from this church. I'm grateful. And they're headed for heaven, I'm sure. I don't have a doubt about that. But what kind of a life will they live between now and the time they get to heaven? Grace will take them there. Beat up, down, discouraged, frustrated, sick, unhappy, divorced. What kind of lives do you live when you make the wrong choices? And then what kind of life is ahead of you if you finally determine, number one, to really choose God because of who He is and never turn back from that? To choose His people, number two. The who He loves the most. And they're hardest people to deal with. So many people don't come to church because they don't like the people in the church. I understand that, but that's wrong. Doesn't matter how bad people treat you. You choose the people and love the people and work for the people. Number three, you've got to choose understanding, because if I don't understand what's going on, I won't stay in it. Number four, I've got to choose His truth over my feelings, over my thinking, over my ways, over my will, over my want. His truth will take me further than what I desire. What I desire is low level. What He desires is the godly level. Yeah. And number five, I've got to serve, not just physically serve doing something, but physically make sure that every day I serve him, his will, his want, his ways, that I'm doing what Mary would have us do. We sit at his feet and we recognize him every day as the most important of everything in our life. If God spoke to you tonight, give the Lord a great big praise.
So good. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.